To be back. I wish the total healthy part were there. You'll hear in my voice, I'm still short of breath at some points. Hopefully won't be too much coughing going on, so if you'll pray a silent prayer for me as I'm working through this, I would greatly appreciate it. And I might have to stop and drink a little bit more water as we go through it, but we'll get through it. A young man comes into the pastor's office to let the pastor know that he's been thinking a lot about many of his messages lately and some of the other teachers he sat in on. And well, he prayed last night to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Having seen others in the church be baptized and share their profession of faith, well, this is what he wanted to do. This is what he thought was proper, and this is what he had heard from the pastor's teaching. So the pastor spent some time with the young man, talking to him about repentance, breaking down the gospel message for him. The pastor continued with a series of questions designed to see what this new professing believer was understanding about the gospel, about the message, and about his new profession of faith. He certainly seemed to have all of the right things to say and acknowledged positively to the pastor all that he was instructed in. So the pastor pulled out a memo pad, grabbed his calendar, and noted that he was setting his baptism up for the second Sunday of November 2027. The young man was shocked, and he replied, "But I don't understand." The pastor answered, "Well, you see, only God knows and sees into the heart of men. But for men, we can only know as best as men can know by the evidence of a life, by the evidence of your life. If a life that looks like a repented life, living different from the ways of the flesh, is a life that is growing in the way of a new Christian, are you involved in the church body life? Are you taking part in as many of the church functions and teachings as possible? We're not looking for perfection, for in the works of men, there is none to be found. But we are looking for, watching for, the evidence of that changed life. A true living faith in Christ will, must, produce good works. We are that branch grafted into Christ. We are now a living branch, and we will, we do, bear fruit. The good works that we bear is the evidence, it is the testimony, it is what your profession of faith is going to be partly built upon as we profess we believe." Well, we certainly do not wait 5 years for one's baptism. And yet, when a new believer is baptized, as we watch them live out their new life in Christ, what are we observing? What are we watching for? The very same things we would have watched for having waited the 5 years. The evidence of a change, new life in Christ. Pastor Greg will confirm that in the 40 plus years of baptisms that he has participated in, that far, far, far too many of them would not, and in fact did not, prove out their professions of faith over a period of time. Albeit 5 years, they didn't make four. They didn't make three. They didn't make two. And they didn't make one. This is not a commentary on the preaching and teaching of the word. This is a commentary on a false profession of faith. This is a commentary on saying, I believe, and that belief is enough. Let's talk a moment about that word faith. After all, it is at the core of what Pastor James is teaching the believers he's writing to, and us as well. We must be careful that when we hear the word faith, a proclamation of someone's belief, that we do not automatically associate salvation to it. Yes, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Yes, there is a faith that saves. But what then shall we say about all other faith? Does it save? The answer is no. How many millions and millions and millions of people proclaim one form or another of a belief in a God? The God, a God, our God, your God. How many profess to know Jesus? How many say, I believe in the words of the Bible? How many have beliefs in all things religious? So we know and are clear that one's profession of faith does not conclude with salvation. We cannot always draw that conclusion. And yet, we cannot deny that they do have a faith. As we get ready to dive into James chapter 2, we will read 14 through 16, but we're only going to get through, or 14 through 26, but we're only going to go through verse 19 this morning. But we first have to look at a controversy, which is no controversy at all, between Paul's teaching and James's. Paul writes in Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Paul is writing to a people who are holding to and embracing the law of Moses. Theirs is a work righteousness religion. Their merit is gained in obedience to the law. Paul's teaching never changed. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not of works. But later in Titus 1:16, Paul writes, and this is from the KJV, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. The ESV says, unfit for any good work. It would appear here that Paul has an expectation of seeing good works. As the evidence of their professing belief. They profess they believe, they have a faith, but evidence the works of their life would deny their profession, would deny, Paul is saying, that they know God. And in Titus 3:8, Paul writes, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. Paul is telling us that the evidence of a believer's saving faith, the expectation will be good works, which will be profitable for all. Again, Paul has not changed his teaching, nor does he contradict himself. And yet James in 2:24 in the ESV says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. KJV says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Please note that in what James writes, he does not say, you do not hear the phrase, works alone. He is not justified by faith and not by faith alone. And he adds in the KJV, the works of a man is justified and not by faith alone. The alone part seems to be attached to the word faith, not to works. And yet if we take that verse, look at it by itself, just pull it out of context, it would certainly look like, without being studied at all, that there is a difference between Paul and James's teaching. Three things I know for certain. First, God's word is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. And that should be enough. You would not believe the studies involved, the commentators that work diligently to show or to try to show the error of James's teaching. There have been men that have written that they call James a straw book, has no substance at all. There have even been those that have doubted that it should have been canon at all. And yet I know that God's word is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. Every word is God-breathed. What James wrote, what Paul wrote, what all men and women of the Bible have written. Do we find fault with that? That's God's word breathed out. Secondly, I know that God's word is to be studied in three ways. Context, context, and then context. You don't just grab a verse, throw it against the wall and say, there it is, that's my truth, that's my proof. There is no contradiction between James and Paul, which we'll see as we look and work through our text today. Let's look at our text. So open with me and read with me James 2, verses 14 through 26 this morning. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Has not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Let's look at the context from early on in James. James, from the very beginning, has been dealing with the believers and their faith, in particular with the works of their faith, which is their good works, the evidence of their belief. How were they living? How were they living out the trials of their life? How were they seeing their faith in action and perseverance? Seeing their faith in action, seeking wisdom and applying it. Seeing their faith in action and believing and not doubting God's word. Seeing their faith in action and believing, whether they are poor or with much, knowing that all is from God. And being encouraged to remain steadfast in the face of all that God would bring before him. James continues throughout his epistle admonishing them in what they are not doing and in correcting the error in what they are doing. The book of James is clearly about the good works of a believing faith. James is writing too, he was writing to the Jews, to believing Jews. He is writing to a group of people who have struggled with being bound to that law, to obedience. So they are embracing the gospel, the very thought of salvation through faith alone. Imagine how refreshing, imagine how relieving that would be. You mean I'm not bound to the merit, to my obedience to this law? No. It's faith alone. What a change for them. But unfortunately, it appears from James' teaching that they have embraced the idea of faith alone, believing that nothing else is required of them. Do we then wonder why, thus far in chapters 1 and 2, they are filled with James's admonishing them and dealing with their body life, dealing with the works that they needed to be doing as believers? James 2:14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? James is introducing the relationship between faith and works to these new Jewish believers. The teaching is not new, for we saw Paul's teaching already, but the teachings may have been new to the Jewish believers. Prior to this, James had taught them about loving your neighbor as yourself and being merciful to men in judgment. So James asks, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, in the KJV it says, what does it profit? What good is that faith? And then he adds, can that faith save him? Anyone can cry out, anyone can declare, anyone can proclaim they have faith. These are words. Mere words. So James asks, are these words any good apart from works? Is the crying out I believe, is the faith that I proclaim all that is needed for salvation? If I say so, is it so? If I say yes, I believe. Is it so? It is not so. Not necessarily. And that is what James is driving home. And can these words of faith save them? Can that faith, a declared faith with no works as evidence of the faith, be a saving faith? Notice that James does not answer the question, but the question is rhetorical and is written in the negative, meaning the answer, the conclusion, is no. Then James adds a story to the narrative, reading verses 15 through 17 again. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And the KJV adds, it is alone. In Genesis 28:20, part of Jacob's vow to the Lord, he wrote this, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, notice that the two requirements that he asked for are bread and clothing. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. James's words are more than that of a person needing a handout of food or that of a person needing a coat for covering. The reference is to those who are deprived of the necessities of life under the two headings of nakedness and hunger. He comprehends all of the calamities of human life. In John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled. I ask, are these words of charity, compassion, and love? They are, they can be, they should be. If while you are giving your brother words of encouragement, you are also giving what you can to warm him and what you can to fill him, now by your actions, your deeds, you're doing what you can with what you have. You have demonstrated that love, charity, and compassion. And yet, as James points out, to those with the empty words, they say, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled. It is tantamount to saying, may God bless you and take care of you. You might as well be saying, good luck, and we wish you well. And by the way, we'll make sure you're on the prayer list. Let's not miss what James is building upon here. It's not about how much food or clothing you may or may not have to give. It's about a Christian seeing another Christian in need and doing whatever that doing is. It's the doing part of it. We see one another in need. We see one another with cares. We see one another needing a handout, a help, a lift up. We do. I don't know what that doing is necessarily. It may be different with each brother and sister, with each event, with each need. But we do something in some manner, in some way. There is no perfect design for our actions, but yet action is required. To the believers James is writing to, he pointedly tells them, your words are empty. They are not profitable or good for anything. So also faith, their profession of faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James again never says that they are without faith. What is in question is what kind of faith is it? Is it a true and living faith, or is it a dead faith? In verses 18 and 19, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James anticipates their argument and will answer it in three ways. They are first saying, well, James, I do have faith. Yes, I see your works, but I have my faith. As to say, there is no difference in our faiths. You say you believe, I say I believe. We both have faith. I see your works, but yes, I still have my faith. Well, then James says, show me your faith without any works. Show me your faith. Let me see it. What should I be looking for? Let me see the faith you are professing. I'm not sure, because we don't know, but I'm not sure how they answer that. But James does have an answer. James responds. It's like saying, I'm not seeing anything. We've been teaching and preaching and going over this time after time after time, and I see no change. I'm not seeing anything. And then he responds, I will show you my faith by my works. There will be evidence. There is something to see. You will see and know my faith, my living faith, by my good works. You will see my love for the brethren, not in what I say alone, but by my actions, by my doing, by my works. And then third, it's as if James anticipates another argument. James answers in that next argument, which appears to be that of them saying, well, we know we have faith because we believe that God is one. Or to say we believe that there is only one God. We know we have faith because we believe in God. James responds with words that I do not believe they were expecting to hear. With words that should have shaken them to their very core. He says, you do well. Great. You do well. Good that you believe in God. Glad to hear that. Even the demons believe and shudder. The demons believe, for they know of the existence of God. They know that Christ is the Son of God. Their belief is real, but it is dead faith, a dead belief in God. It is like James uses the most exaggerated illustration to show that if one simply says they believe in God, that is not nearly enough. James is very clear here with his comparison to the demons. A professing belief in God is not the evidence of a true and living faith. To say you know God does not salvation bring. There will be many that will say in the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, I knew you. And he's going to say, depart from me. One either has a true and living faith, or they have a dead faith. There are two types of faith, that true and living faith in Christ, and then everything else that isn't a true and living faith. Luther is said to have penned this, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. And Calvin wrote this, it is therefore faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone. Paul and James were not at odds with each other in their teaching. They would agree that just as faith alone saves, that same faith will be evidenced by good works. A living faith will produce fruit. It will produce good works. Ephesians 2:10, coming after those words of grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we read, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And if they were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, is there any way that if we're true believers, we won't walk in them? There's an old Christian song that says, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And there's a second lyric that says, they will know we are Christians as we work with each other, as we work side by side. May the world always know that we here in this body are Christians as we do love one another. And by our good works, as we work side by side for God's glory. And next we come together, which appears to be January 1st, we'll finish out James chapter 2. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, I...